Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
My mother-in-law witnessed this and tried apologizing to the church ladies, telling them, "Their family is trash and I wish my son never married her."
No.
Oh, that's bad. That is bad. My sister walked in on the convo and my mother-in-law stuck her finger into my sister's chest saying, "You're the worst of them." Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Here Comes the Drama. I'm your host, Krista Innes. And if you are listening for the first time, welcome. We are the podcast that dives into the chaos, hilarity, and unforgettable moments when it comes to weddings, events, and beyond. And today's episode, of course, is packed with some juicy stories and hot takes that you will not want to miss. Now, we're doing things a little bit different this time, and I'm releasing a never-before-shared episode with my best friend, Yvette. So a little background to this episode. When I first planned this podcast out, so the first episode came out of January this year, which is wild to think about. We're almost a year at this. I had a full roster of who I was going to interview or who I was going to have on the podcast. And of course, I wanted my best friend, Yvette, on there. She was the maid of honor in my own wedding. And so I figured, you know, we'd have a lot of fun stories to share. And so the first time I had her on, we recorded, it was after our kids went to bed. We were on Zoom. And so I want to say it was 9 o'clock at night. So we're both tired and we recorded. And I think we're both just kind of perfectionists, where afterwards she texted me the next day and she was like, "Do you want to redo it? Or are you happy with it?" And I think I was in my overthinking phase of this is just getting off the ground, right? And I was like, "I mean, we can redo it if you want, but let's do a different story since we already truly live reacted to that one." And so recently I was like, "I forgot we have that episode." And I was like, "I just want to listen to it." And I listened to it and it's actually really good. And it's a shocking story. And it's very real. Not like they're normally not, but it's two tired moms, AKA us, chatting. And we're just doing a real reaction. And so I really liked it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to share it. So I texted her and I was like, "Hey, are you cool if I share this episode? There's some really good insight and it was a lot of fun." And she's like, "Yeah, go ahead and share it." So I think we were just both in our stage of perfectionism. And I was nervous because I was so new. So when I do play it, which is going to be in a minute, she'll be introducing herself. And obviously since then, I've had her on the podcast two different times. So you guys, if you've listened, you know her now, but she'll reintroduce herself then. This was recorded originally either February or March of this year. So we are here now, 8-9 months later. So just keep that in mind. A lot has changed since then. The layout of the podcast has changed as well. So I'm going to play that in a minute. But before I do that, next week is Thanksgiving. And what would Thanksgiving be if I just didn't say a little note to you guys of how truly grateful I am for all of you? I mean, this is the most incredible community. I never saw this happening. I mean, when I was on my maternity leave 2.5 years ago now, I just decided to pick up my phone and do a silly little skit. And you guys thought it was funny. And I remember keeping it a secret for so long because not like I was ashamed of it, but I just didn't really know where it was going to go. And I feel like when you start telling people, you start viewing yourself differently and you feel like you start acting a certain way. And so I kept it kind of to myself. Only my husband knew I was going to do it. And it was this weird little thing. Once my daughter would go to bed, I would film in the bathroom. And I was like, "What is my life right now?" But it's turned into so much more. It's turned into this storytelling. It's allowed me to share so many stories from people from all over the world. I also am able to create my own stories, which if you guys have been following me for a bit, you know I love creating stories. That's what I went to school for. I've always loved writing. And so it's just sparked something in me that I've truly enjoyed. And so thank you to just any of you guys for watching, for sharing, for listening on the podcast. No matter where you found me or how you found me, I'm just so grateful that you're here now. And this is just the beginning. Because of this platform, I feel like I have the opportunity to share more and to help more and to hopefully make an impact. And by the time this comes out, this might be a little late news, but like, for example, with everything happening with people losing their benefits and with, I mean, just the world is struggling right now. So many people are struggling. And so I did a Feeding America fundraiser at the end of last week. And in 2 days, we raised $3,000, which was just incredible. Hopefully by the time this comes out, we can even double that. And that's just a little teaser of like the kind of things I want to keep doing. I want to be able to help more people to share more ways of impacting others as well. And I know I'm kind of going on a tangent now, but it just really means a lot to me, this community. And I don't really take a time to sit back and just really realize what we've got going on here. And so from the bottom of my heart, I just want to say thank you. Okay, now I'm not going to cry or anything. Let me get into the next segment. Okay, so before I get into the previously recorded episode that no one has ever heard before, this is a wedding dilemma. So my brand new segment called Wedding Dilemmas or Wedding 911 is where people are sending me, they DM me, they email me current or past dilemmas they're kind of going through, and they want just other feedback from people. They want honest, maybe unprofessional advice from me, what to do in the situation. So I got a longer one today, so we're going to read this one, and I've not read it entirely, so let's see what we got. If you have a wedding dilemma of your own, please email me hello@kristaennis.com with the subject line wedding dilemma, and we will get to it. Okay, here is today's wedding dilemma. So I've been a longtime watcher of your TikTok channel, and I've actually been engaged for a couple of years, but I was constantly getting met with a lot of apathy and negativity when I first started to try to plan the wedding, not for my fiance, of course. Recently, my mom bought my wedding dress, and so we finally started to get the ball rolling. But in doing so and setting the date, everything is getting more real. And some people are starting to ask the questions I've been dreading. The main one is, who is going to officiate? That is an interesting question for people to ask, because I don't think people asked me that, unless I'm just forgetting. And that's also not my first question when I hear someone's engaged or planning their wedding. It's a fun question, but I don't know. Interesting. My dad got ordained a few years ago. Okay, this is why. And he has officiated a couple of family weddings so far. And he has made it clear in no uncertain terms that he really wants to officiate my wedding. We know how I feel about family or friends coming in and demanding or making hints at being a part of the wedding as a vendor. And yes, an officiant is considered a vendor, right? Officiant, photographer, DJ, they're all vendors. They're typically contracted and paid. So he's trying to kind of get in there. I just worked a wedding where the stepdad was the officiant, and it was amazing. It was beautiful, but they asked him to do it. He had never done it before, and he was so nervous, but he did a great job, and they asked him to do it because he's so meaningful in their life. Okay, there are multiple reasons I do not want him to do this. The main reason I've given is that for that day, I want him just to be the father of the bride and nothing else. I just want my dad. That is all you need. That is a great reason alone, but I get it. If he's been pushing for this, he might not understand, but like, I want to do this for you, you know? Now on to the reasons I don't say to him. My dad cheated on my mom when I was pretty young and he left us. Okay. This off the bat, why would you want someone that cheated, especially on your own mother, to officiate your wedding? I know I wouldn't. That's just, to me, that's like a bad omen. Like, don't you want someone that like really values marriage and relationship and building blocks of moving forward? I mean, at least I do. He had kids with the other woman that he also wasn't present for. Oh gosh, because he would leave her and get back together with my mom, and the entire situation was so messy. Oh my gosh. So he is now screwing up and hurting two families because of his own selfishness. At the end of the day, I don't want a man who couldn't respect his marriage to officiate mine. Yes, I agree with you. Number two, I am Christian, but my fiance is not. And while we are incorporating some Christian symbolism into our vows and our ceremony, we would also like to incorporate other things from his beliefs. I feel like my dad is going to push for an overly Christian ceremony that is going to make both of us uncomfortable. And here's the thing too, the hypocrisy, right? She's Christian, but she sounds very like accepting of like her husband's not. So she wants to do a little mix of like what both of their beliefs, right? Which I think is very normal and very wonderful. But for the dad to be like, he cheated in the sanctity of marriage. He cheated on his wife, got another woman pregnant, doesn't father those children or these children, leaves his families constantly, right? But he wants to push for this very Christian wedding. And it's like, okay, what are we doing here? Number three, my dad believes in the role of wife, so to speak. And I absolutely hate this particular belief, mostly just for how it has manifested with my own mom and how he believes I should accept being treated by a partner if I marry someone. So he probably thinks, even though he cheated, his wife should still accept him back because he's the man, right? I have been to so many weddings where I've heard very sexist language about the role of a woman, and I don't want to hear it on my wedding day. Yeah, I wouldn't either. No, that's something that when I was picking an officiant, side story, I was going to have my uncle do it. He married all the cousins in our family. He's my godfather, but he was actually expecting a baby. So the timing just didn't work out, which I was so bummed about. But we ended up finding an amazing officiant on The Knot. This is not sponsored. I literally just Googled one day and The Knot came up. And I found this amazing Reverend Marsha. Shout out to her. She's amazing. And one thing that I loved about her was that we had multiple Zoom calls. We met in person and we went over the full ceremony, detail by detail. What kind of thing are you looking for? Do you want it religious or not? Do you want a mix of religions? Do you want a prayer? Do you want a unity? Like, she really customized it for the couple. And then before we agreed to it, or before we actually like had our rehearsal, she let us view the prayers that were going to be read. She had us view how she was going to open it. And we were able to say, take this part out, put this part in. And I think that's the most beautiful thing about getting married is being able to customize it to you and your partner, right? So just to kind of like jump the gun a little bit, sounds like this dad was like, this is how it's going to be. I'm going to tell you how your marriage should be. Even though he didn't live up to how the sanctity of marriage should be, right? Now, to some of my points, you may say I need to just communicate with my dad that I don't want to hear that type of language or just communicate on one type of ceremony I want to have. But he's incredibly condescending and dismissive when my point of view opposes his. Ooh. To be frank, I'm concerned that because this is so important to him, it is going to have ripple effects into our relationship. It took us years to get to a good place again. I have considered letting him do the ceremony just because I know how important it is to him. But at the end of the day, it feels like I'm constantly sacrificing my happiness and my comfort so the other people can feel special and seen. I want to feel seen on this one day. Okay, you know exactly what you want and you know exactly what you need to do. And I'm going to tell you based on what you just told me, right? You can't have your dad officiate your wedding, plain and simple. He's not going to follow what you tell him to. He's going to put his own beliefs in there about your role as the wife. You are going to have this built up resentment because of how he treated your family, specifically your mom and you, kids that he doesn't talk to. I don't know if you have siblings. Why start your marriage off with your partner with someone that did not respect their own marriage, right? And I think this is the time where you really need to put your foot down and yes, communicate with him. Absolutely. But just tell him again and be firm. I want you there as my dad and my dad only. You can walk me down the aisle. We've actually already found blank to officiate the wedding. And leave it simple. If he asks questions, you can give him some details. If he seems like he's going to try to do something or grab a mic or make a speech or take over the ceremony, you need to be very clear that if he does not do this, he will be asked to leave. And that might seem harsh to some people listening, but now I've heard so many stories where people do this kind of thing. If they're not given the position they want, or they're not allowed to be photographer, they're not allowed to do this, then, oh, I'm not coming, or you'll regret it. But I truly, truly believe based on everything you're telling me and how your relationship is with your father and how you've had to work back up to this spot, you will regret having him officiate your wedding. There are certain things that, yes, over time you can rebuild. But the fact that he's dismissive still, condescending to you, and you've seen him speak at weddings before where he's very sexist, I think all signs point to no. So you got to be firm. If you need someone behind you, obviously your partner is going to be behind you. I don't know his relationship with your mom currently. It sounds like he kind of goes back and forth. So she needs to be on your side as well. Get everybody on your side. And in the meantime, find someone that you guys both agree on should officiate your wedding and get on the same page. At that point, he can't fill the role if it's already been filled. So I hope that helps. I hope that was considered some good advice. But I read through it and I'm just like, no, everything you're saying tells me he should not officiate your wedding. You truly deserve to have the best day, feel seen, and have a ceremony that really represents you and your partner in the best way. So I wish you the best of luck and I hope it goes well. And please send us updates. I would love to hear updates and I hope everything goes well. All right, guys. Now, as I said, we are going to play my previously recorded episode, never before shared, with my best friend and maid of honor, Yvette. So without further ado, please enjoy. Welcome back to another episode of Here Comes the Drama. I'm so excited. I'm just going to dive right in because one of my very best friends and was the actual maid of honor in my own wedding, my good friend Yvette, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. I've never done a podcast before, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I knew like right away when this podcast was coming out that I wanted you to be a part of it in some way. Guys, Yvette is just the kindest person. We can go on and on about like how we met and all that stuff, but like basically our husbands have been best friends for a while, so we met through them. But she has been one of the most supportive, and I don't want to start crying. So it's an emotional day, guys, but she's just been one of the most supportive friends I could ever ask for. And so here we go.
Krista, when don't you cry?
I know. I was just telling someone, it was a joke at my wedding that in your speech and Matt, who is Yvette's husband, both talked about how I cry all the time.
Yes.
And it's like not always sad stuff. It's like happy stuff. It's like I'm grateful listening to Taylor Swift, you know, whatever. But no, Yvette's such a supportive friend. And so I knew that when this podcast was coming out that I wanted you to be a part of it. So I'll stop the tears. Yvette, if you want to do like a little intro of like who you are, and then we'll dive into this crazy drama.
Yeah. So I'm Yvette. Something fun about me. Yeah. I guess I just met Krista through my husband, who's best friends with her husband. And it was kind of like a crazy journey because we've known each other, but we never really like hit it off. I think it wasn't our time. And then my husband and I were getting married, and Krista was just, again, so supportive, so kind. When anyone gets to know you, you always are so warm and welcoming, and you always see people that are like left out in the corner. And again, I'm talking about you, right? But I'm just so grateful to be your friend. So if I were to introduce myself, I am your friend. I'm someone that has been cheering you on and that has heard about this podcast probably like 5 years ago, before it was even a thing, before you even started any of it. So I've been hearing about different titles and different ways that you wanted to start this. And yeah, I'm just so proud of you. And being a part of just one episode means a lot. So,
well, I'm proud of you. I remember you're talking about like your wedding. And so at that point, when Yvette was planning her wedding, like I think was Matt might have still been living with us. I'm not even sure at that point. But
no, at that point,
you guys
like our wedding in the city, or when we lived in the city when we got married.
Right. Okay. Yes. Yeah. But I remember asking, like, we were just talking about your wedding planning and stuff. And we were not super close friends. We were more like acquaintances. We would see each other at things and we were obviously always friendly. But I remember specifically like asking you like, oh, what are you doing for your wedding colors? What are your bridesmaids dress? Just asking questions. And then like, before I knew it, I ended up just like being a part of your wedding stuff. I wasn't in the wedding, but like there the night before, we hung out. And
yeah. And I always say like, you should have been a part of my wedding because you did so much for my wedding. You just have that natural gift to like want to help people or be there for people. And looking back at it, we were starting to be close friends at that point, it felt like. And I feel like that brought us even closer together. But even that night, I just remember being like, you should stay with all my bridesmaids. You've been a part of the process. Just like be with me kind of thing. And
yeah.
So it was, yeah, really good to have you.
Yeah. And then it was like, we got closer. And then when we got engaged, I was like, hands down, Yvette's going to be my maid of honor or matron of honor, as I guess technically called. But okay, enough of us blabbing, because guys, Yvette and I could talk for hours and just like keep going. So I'll kind of like forget that it's being recorded. Okay, let's jump in to, I always like to start with crazy stories and wedding hot takes. I know we were kind of talking about that before we started. So do you have any crazy stories that come right off the bat? Not to put you on the spot, kind of talk through some wedding hot takes as well.
I don't know if I honestly haven't been in as many weddings as you have. I feel like you were like 27 dresses kind of situation. Like, you've had so many bridesmaid dresses. I haven't had any like wild stories. I've had some fun bachelorette parties, but that's really it. Nothing out of the norm, nothing too crazy. So
yeah. No, definitely. And I feel like too, it seems like so long ago when we were like all in, I feel like there was just wedding for a while. Mm-hmm. And then there kind of has been some pause and then like babies, you know, all that stuff. So, okay. So let's get into some hot takes. So these are hot takes that people sent in. And so let's kind of react to them and see what we think. So the first one says, couples should stick to a traditional guest list, or is it okay to make bold cuts for budget or personal reasons?
So I share first.
Sure. Yeah.
Here's the thing. I come from a really, really big family, and I am someone who's been trying to break cycles. I think that family is a good thing when it's people that reach out to you, when it's people that show that they care about you and want to engage with you and have been a process from the beginning, maybe even halfway. But if it's someone that feels entitled to be a part of your big day just because, I'm like, cut them out. If it's not healthy, like, I don't want you a part of it. There's a part of me that wants to follow tradition, but also traditions can get us into trouble and can get us into cycles and unhealthy relationships. And I'm not about that. So.
Right. Yeah, yeah, just saying the yes just because they're a family member or somehow related or they were your neighbor growing up. We need to, I feel like, evaluate each relationship and how, not necessarily how they serve us, but how we've served each other. Like, it might be like both ends of it. So I feel like a lot of times when I share stories, people are like, oh, well, that bride is entitled. And it's like, we have to look at it from both angles. Have they reached out to each other in the past couple of years? Or has that person ever asked about the bride's life or, you know, that kind of thing? It's important.
Yeah. And I even think, like, I didn't have any kids at my wedding unless it was people that were in the party, like my bridesmaids or the groomsmen. And it was like their kids, that kind of thing. That's okay. But for me, it's okay to be like, hey, no kids, because I don't want to be worried about kids at my wedding. You know what I mean? I don't want them to like take away. And that's not to say that like, oh, I'm being a bridezilla, but it's more like, it's my day and I get to be there with all the people that I love. And I really want to like enjoy that.
Yeah, I think kids is always like a really hot topic because everyone's like really strongly opinionated. And I always like to remind people that you can be as opinionated as you want for your own wedding.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. Because it's not up to us to dictate how someone else does their own day or like what their relationship is. Like, some people want every single person to bring all their kids and add 50 people to the guest list. And other people are like, you know what? I'm going to invite just immediate family kids or, you know, whatever. So I think that's so important.
Yeah.
I think it would definitely, I always say this to Zach, I feel like it'd be a lot harder now getting married with having so many close friends and their kids, because back when like I got married and you got married, a lot of us didn't have kids yet. And so I think it was a lot easier to be like, okay, like we can make a cut here because, you know, there aren't a lot yet.
Yeah.
I feel like this is an obvious one, but do you think it's okay for guests to wear white to a wedding?
No.
If the couple doesn't explicitly say not to?
No. No, you cannot wear white. I have sweet friends that are like, oh, it's fine. It's not a big deal. But if I were a guest at their wedding, and somebody else is wearing white, I'd be like, you need to go change. Like, go change. This is her day. That's not okay.
Yeah.
Like, that part of the tradition, I'm like, that needs to stay.
Yeah. Unless it says this is a black and white tie affair or whatever, which even then, I think I would still pick a black dress.
Absolutely.
It would just feel very, very odd to pick a white gown to someone else's wedding. Yeah. I feel like that's one of those things where I feel like if you are wearing a white dress to someone's wedding, you know what you're doing.
You want the attention on you.
Yeah. You can't claim ignorance.
Yeah. Stirring the pot.
Yeah. Okay. Jumping into a fun segment, pick a side wedding drama debates. Okay. So these are a couple of things that people also have shared on Instagram. We're going to kind of call unpopular opinions, but sometimes I read them and I'm like, I agree with you. Okay. Mm-hmm. If a parent helps pay for the wedding, they don't have as much say because it still is not their wedding.
I agree. You don't have to pay for the wedding. Like, you're gifting that. So I think it's their wedding. You gift it. It's not like, I'm going to gift you a t-shirt and I'm going to say like, this is where you can wear it. You can't wear it here. You can only wear it with these people. So I look at it the same way. It's a gift and that's it. And they can spend it how they'd like.
Yeah, that's a great point about a t-shirt. I tried sharing a similar analogy like that online one time. And I would say half people got it, half didn't, because I think people are so stuck on, well, if I'm giving that much money, I better like be there making a decision. It's like you can be involved as much as the bride and groom wants, but absolutely, you cannot go over their head or have mm-hmm. strings attached to every little thing for yeah. sure. This can be like kind of a hot take. People are more worried about the party than what it means to get married and have a marriage.
Unfortunately, I'm going to say, yeah, I tried really hard for my wedding to vocalize it. And in my speech, I really wanted to make it a point like, hey, thank you all for being here, because this is the start of our marriage. And you guys are here not to party with us. Yes, it was a party, but like to witness this. And the people in our wedding party, including you, I feel like I've invited to be a part of my marriage and like support us when we're struggling, when we're having a good time, to like celebrate the highs and like hold us in the lows. And so I think, unfortunately, from a larger perspective, it is all about the party and like following the trends and I don't know, just having the most beautiful wedding and the most beautiful dress. But I have been so encouraged. I've been with my really good friends who are not all like that. They're not like that. And they're laid back and they're just so happy to be married to the love of their life. And I think that's what it really needs to be about.
Yeah, I think it's a really good indication when we see a lot of the celebrity weddings and they spend sometimes million. I think I just saw like Kim Kardashian spent like $11 million at the wedding with
Chris Humphrey,
attuned to those names. Yeah. Okay. So
you're more Taylor Swift.
I'm more Taylor Swift. Yeah. Team Taylor Swift. But yeah. So they spent like $11 million and people think like, oh, it's this amazing wedding. They put all this money in, but it didn't last long. And so I think people need to remember like, yes, it's a great time to celebrate with friends and family, but what we should be more focused on is what's to come, what's down the line. Because if it's all about show and the big day, then we're kind of losing that a little bit.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah. Hey, drama lovers, big news. My book, Here Comes the Drama, A Ferris and Sloan Story, is officially out now. If you've been following their wild wedding saga online, this is the full story, packed with messy twists, sharp banter, family chaos, and all the heart you've come to love. And judging by your messages and posts, you're loving it too. Huge thanks to everyone who's already grabbed a copy early and shared it on social media. Your support means everything. If you haven't read it yet, now is the time. Head to KristaEnnis.com/book or click the link in the show notes. It's available in both print and ebook. Grab your copy before the spoilers start showing up in the comment sections, because trust me, you'll want to experience every jaw-dropping moment for yourself. Okay, so I want to jump in and read this week's story. Okay. So we'll just kind of read it and then we'll react as it goes. Hi, I'll try to make it shorter, but there is a lot of drama. My mother-in-law and sister-in-law showed up late to my wedding, missing most of the pictures, only taking ones with my husband. My sister-in-law brought her dog to the wedding, not a service animal, and inside the church, laid on the pews, and in the reception hall around the food. There was a minor issue with the food being put out by the church attendants that turned into the little old church ladies yelling at my mom and making her cry. All she was going to do was get the food out for my guests. Okay, already we're off to a rough start.
Yikes.
My mother-in-law witnessed this and tried apologizing to the church ladies, telling them, their family is trash and I wish my son never married her.
No.
Oh, that's bad. That is bad. My sister walked in on the convo and my mother-in-law stuck her finger into my sister's chest saying, you're the worst of them. I can't believe this happened at someone's wedding.
I can't believe it. Oh my gosh.
We then had to kick my mother-in-law out of the wedding after yelling at multiple people. She stayed outside the event, throwing a fit and telling anyone who listened to her that we were terrible people. She somehow got back into the wedding reception as the mother and son dance was announced. I would be like running to the DJ being like, we're not doing that dance anymore. Like,
yeah, no, you're out. I just want to know like what the husband did. Like, what did he do?
That's my thought. I feel like so many times in these stories, like, the bride submits it to me or like someone in the wedding party, and we don't hear anything about what the groom was doing or like where he was.
Yeah.
And I feel like that should be the not tiebreaker, but the person being like, hey, we need you to calm down, mom.
Yeah. Like, where is he? What is he doing to support his new wife? The red flags already. Like, come on.
Yes. Especially like this mother and son dance. Why is that still happening if she was kicked out?
Yeah.
I feel like she like went and was like ready for it somehow. Went in back door. Let's see. It says, my husband did the dance with her, but all of the pictures show my husband's mad face with her. So, okay. So he was mad, but he still did this dance with her.
It's so hard. Okay. It's hard because, okay, if I put myself in his shoes, it's like, am I going to regret not having the dance with my mother? Okay. I get that. But also his mom just made his life so complicated because now he has to like, in a sense, choose between his new family, his family now, his wife is his family, and his mother. Mm-hmm. And you as a parent, you shouldn't want to do that for your son. Yeah, I feel like, okay, maybe you aren't happy with his choice and maybe it's not like your first choice, but that's on him. And for you to do that and like ruin their wedding, if my mother-in-law did that to me, I would not be talking to her. And if my husband supported her or like didn't stand up for me and my family, that would be very concerning.
Yeah. And it's an odd thing where you do hear a lot, it happens more with boy moms, where it's like, you're taking my son away from me. And it seems very dramatic in a lot of the skits I do, but so many comments are like, this happened to me. This was my reality until we cut her off or something like that. And I'm like, I can't even imagine because I have an amazing mother-in-law too. It's like, I could never imagine her treating me that way. But when you hear these stories, you're like, what is it that makes them so, I don't know, is it a jealousy thing? Is it like losing time with their son? Yeah. They're getting older. They're going to miss out. But ultimately, they're just pushing their son further away.
Absolutely. I don't know what it is. Like, I only have girls. Like, I can't picture what it would be like to be a boy mom and then have to like let go of my son. I feel like I would want to do like girl talk with my daughter-in-law and do girl stuff with her. So it's just strange to me to think right. that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's my thought too. And it's like growing your family or adding into your family. Mm-hmm. I feel like too, some of the stories that I read, it's like they have these high expectations of who their future daughter-in-law should be. So if they don't fit this picture perfect idea of what they envisioned or who they envision their son with, they're going to find something wrong with them. Maybe they're really close to their mom and they don't like the connection or the relationship they see, then there might be some issue there, but I don't know.
I also think I think this might be what you're getting at, or you mentioned it before. It's like they're stealing him away, or like now maybe they spent a lot of time together or something like that. Is that what you're trying to get at? And now it's like, no, now it's like, okay, now she's a new priority. And definitely jealousy.
Like, yeah. Yeah. This is crazy. I also can't imagine being left with so many like terrible memories of your wedding, looking at pictures and being like, oh, I remember when this happened. This is terrible. Like, I always like to remind people is we read these crazy stories that happen, but most of the time drama does not happen like this at weddings. And most of the time you wouldn't even know if they do happen. But when they do happen like this, people talk about them and share them because they're like, this is outrageous. Not to scare people away. Okay. It ends with, she then left. 2 days later, we met up at a restaurant to talk, where she freaked out, calling me a drunk B-word because I walked around with a bottle of wine for other people, and then she stormed out of the restaurant. To make matters worse, our wedding paperwork was not stamped by the county, so we were not legally married until 2 weeks after this, and then we had to go back and do it again with just a small group. Wait, I thought you have to then do it again?
Well, you have like a certain amount of time to like sign the paperwork. Because if I remember correctly, like whenever they perform marriage ceremony, you're not always actually like signing married. The paperwork. Right. You're not actually getting married. And so a lot of people don't realize that. And they're like, oh, I'm not actually married. So if you don't do it, maybe it's like 48 hours or 24 hours. I'm not sure. This is wrong. By a certain time, you're not legally married. So then, yeah, you would have to do it again.
So couldn't they have just gone to the courthouse and signed it though?
They could have. Maybe they wanted their family members to be there. Like,
interesting. Yeah, that is interesting. Because I saw a video of a girl talking about they were supposed to like do all the paperwork for like their wedding coming up. And their husband didn't file the paperwork. So they couldn't get their marriage license. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was something my reverend was really like adamant. She's like, don't forget to do this. You need to do this this weekend. She like sent me like a timeline. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would not have known to do that.
I mean, I didn't even know you had to get a marriage license. And then when you got it, I also didn't know that it's only good for a certain amount of time. And I didn't know that it was like for a specific county, which is crazy. Like, I didn't know any of this. You know, I've never been married before. And then did you know that some people have to get their blood work done or like Yeah, they have to make sure for smaller towns, they used to do this here in Illinois. They had to make sure that you weren't somehow related to each other. So you had to go to like a doctor.
And prove.
Yes. You should look that up. You should look that up.
We should look that up. I'm going to look that up. Most states no longer require it, but in the late 1930s, states began requiring blood tests
1930s.
For syphilis to show that applicants were not contagious.
Oh, that's what it is. I thought it was what they weren't related in any form.
But certain states, it was with like within the last 25 years, they stopped doing it. So some probably kept it longer. Maybe it's because there was like such an issue, like people find out years later, like, oh, I actually married my cousin or something.
The reason why I know is because my mother-in-law was telling me when we were getting married, she's like, oh, you're lucky. You don't have to like get all the blood work done. I was like, what are you talking about? So yeah, that's what I found out. So she had to do it.
She had to do it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. And she probably got married in what, the 80s?
Yes.
So mm-hmm. That's not that long ago.
Yeah, no.
Well, I guess the 80s are going on 40 years ago. Wait, is that 40 years ago? That's over 40 years ago.
Yes, I see. I think that the 80s like 20 years ago.
Me too. Oh. I'm like, I'm just a baby. I'm like a teenager still.
I'm young.
I know, like what? That would be something actually kind of cool to look at for like future episodes, to see like traditions that have changed. Yeah. Because that's the thing too. I think people are so stuck on traditions when it comes to weddings. And we have to remember like times have changed. Yeah. People get offended when I post about people having private vows. They're like, well, why even have a wedding? And it's like, everyone has their own reasons for wanting to do things differently. Mm-hmm. Or one girl was posting saying her family told her that her wedding didn't count because she didn't want to walk down the aisle by herself. So her husband actually grabbed her at the beginning and they walked together. Like kind of
that.
And yeah. And she was like, my whole family said it wasn't me actually getting married because it wasn't traditional. But I feel like we need to let go of some of those traditions. I think traditions are beautiful, but we also need to look at them and be like, does this make sense for me? Or am I comfortable with this? And understand that times have changed.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. My grandfather, he passed away now, but I remember my mom telling me after I got married, she's like, your grandpa was like, what is this? Why aren't we at a church? My family's Roman Catholic and they're really big into Catholicism. I'm not Catholic. And so I still had different aspects or different part of like religion at my wedding, but I didn't want it at a big church because it didn't feel right to me. And my grandpa was like, you guys aren't even like married because you guys aren't married before God. I was like, okay.
Yeah. And it's like some of those things you just have to like take and just let it roll off your back.
Yeah.
Because it's like one of those, it's not worth explaining. But yeah, I remember that too, growing up in the Catholic Church, it was like, it only counts here. But it's like, there's so many different ways of doing it. And this is something I haven't really fully looked into, but the reverend at my wedding, she does like multiple denominations of like Christian weddings or even non-Christian weddings. And my friend who still practices Catholicism, she did their wedding. But I wonder if that's even like recognized by the Catholic Church because it's not a priest. But I don't know. I haven't looked into that. So,
which is interesting because then like moving on into your life, if you want to have kids or have them like do their first communion or anything, not to get into religion, but then it's like, okay, were you married in the church? You know what I mean? It's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of different little things to consider. Yeah, that'd be very challenging. I think adding in different religious backgrounds and cultures can add on a whole new layer of stuff because it's beyond preferences, right? Especially if you're very, I don't know, in your faith is the wrong way to call it, but if you're very strong in your faith, it's hard to look on the outside and be like, wait, my son loves someone that's not from this same culture. So that's going to be very challenging. I think on a whole new level.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I want to end it with our weekly confessions game. People are sending me their confessions, and I was having people rate it, so we're just going to read them and react to, like, your thoughts on it. This person said, my bridesmaid from another state didn't even bother to show up to anything, just the wedding.
Ooh.
So when I read that, I have more questions, and it's not like in a judgmental way. Because one time I had questions for the bride, and everyone's like, don't judge her. I'm just wondering, like, did the bridesmaid say she was coming to these things and then just not show up? Or when you asked her to be a bridesmaid, she was like, I'll let you know if I can make it to certain things. Like, maybe she has kids or she has got multiple jobs and then just couldn't come to a bachelorette party or couldn't come to a shower. And I think you were the same way. But, like, when it came to my wedding, I told my bridesmaids, I was like, you know what? Here's the dresses, like pick your style. If you can't come to the shower, it's okay. If you can't come to the bachelorette party, it's okay. In fact, I had two people not come to the bachelorette party and I think someone couldn't make it to the shower. But to me, that wasn't like high priority. It was like, you know what? I want you by my side at the wedding day. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what your takes are on that.
I agree 100%. Like I said, the other stuff is kind of like the fluff, right? Like, yes, you want them to be a part of journey and stuff, but they've been a part of your journey. Like, that's why they're a part of your party, your wedding party. And actually in my wedding, same thing. I had somebody come just for the wedding and then they left and I didn't even see them. I didn't get to spend much time with them. But it meant so much to me that she would even like agree to be a part of it and be a witness to like my story with my husband. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that goes back to communication is so important when you're a bride and you're expecting things of other people. There's going to be brides that want things like this and like everyone must be in attendance, wear these kind of outfits. And I've never been a part of a wedding like that. I've just heard of them. So I think it's good to be upfront and clear if you want something like that. Now, if it's the bridesmaid saying she's going to come to all these things and then just bails last minute, then yeah, that's a problem on the bridesmaid because that's just kind of a flaky person.
I have a problem with like people saying that they're going to come and like be there. And yeah, they come, but they're not present. I don't know how to like explain that in a better way. That's just hard for me.
More like they're checking a box and not actually a part of it.
Yes, that's hard.
Like if you were to invite someone and they're on their phone the whole time or sitting in the corner, not actually engaging.
Yes.
Yeah. Then you're like, why did you even, you're just a body right now.
Right.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. Ooh. Okay. Anytime I post about my wedding, I purposely don't include photos of my mother-in-law. Is this next confession?
Okay. I don't really know what to say. Okay. I feel like obviously there isn't a good relationship with your mother-in-law. Are you doing this on purpose because you know that your mother-in-law is going to see the post and not see herself? Like, are you doing this out of malice or are you doing it because she hurt you? And also, I want to know, like, what do you bring to the table? Because relationships are a two-way street. So, like, is this just on her? It could be, but do you have fault in it? It could also be.
Yeah. And I want to say, too, I've seen on the other side, like, a friend of mine, I'm not going to give too many details because I know she's probably listening and I don't want to, like, give it away. But she had like, I wouldn't say terrible relationship with her mother-in-law. It was just kind of like they butted heads here and there and they just did not agree on a lot of stuff. And one day she looked inside herself and then they literally like had conversations. And I asked her recently and she's like, things are amazing. Things are great. Yeah. And I think sometimes we like hold
is
up.
Is that not me? I'm just
no. No, we love
no,
you.
No. Yeah.
No, definitely not you. But she was like, things are so great. It was just like a communication thing. And I think it's also we put our own guards up. Or if we see one thing that's kind of like weird, then we kind of are like, I don't know, then constantly have a guard up or like little things that irk us. But she's like, no, things have been amazing. And so like, I think there's always a chance. But
oh, that's good. Yeah.
But this definitely says there's some kind of animosity between the two of them for sure. Okay. Last one before we'll close off. Sister-in-law called off wedding planning to elope, told us to bring food to share at a potluck reception. I feel like I have more questions too. We only get so much, but was there a date set and we were going to do this whole wedding? Then she was like, hey, we're actually just going to elope, bring some food and that's it.
I want to know like how much in advance, like what was the notice like? Did everyone already have their bridesmaids dresses or did everyone have all the stuff, all the foo-foo or like paid for the hair and makeup already? Because I think that would be upsetting to me, like knowing that I've invested so much, but also like, if that's what you want to do, like, good for you. Like, that sounds fun. And if I support that, if you're doing it in a way that's being respectful to the people that are in your wedding.
Absolutely. Like, if you started planning and you're like, this is too much for me, let's elope. That seems more my style. Do you, girl. I'm all about that because so many people regret their wedding, I think, when they don't do what is true to them and their spouse. Right. Whether it's they went big and they wanted to go small or they went small and they wanted to go big. There's so many opinions. So just like tune it all out and do what works for you. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on.
I feel so
weird being formal with you because like, this is like not how we talk. But I try to like be like as loosey-goosey as possible. But I know we didn't really get too much into like you personally, what you personally do. But is there anything like, I don't know, cool or funny you want to share that you're working on or like a little bit more about you? And then I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I'm all about working with people and mental health. So I just encourage couples that like want to get married to be honest with yourself, be honest with your spouse, like set yourself up for success and ask really hard questions now, because you don't want to go into marriage and have to ask yourself these questions your first year, second year, you don't go to university without first having read the reviews and learning about the programs. You don't get a job without understanding the salary, what the hours look like. And this is like the biggest decision of your life. So prepare, get ready for the test. You know, you should be studying, you should be learning each other. And yeah, that's really my encouragement. And then another thing that I want to say is if you're pointing your finger at your partner, look in the mirror first, right? Like, let's see what we can offer. Let's see maybe areas that we can work on. And so, yeah, I'm all about mental health and making our relationship work. But in reality, we can't change others. We can only change ourselves. So
I need like wise words from Yvette, like probably like every week, because there's so many times, and I was just saying this to Yvette before we like got on, I feel like there's always some kind of like mental break I'm having whenever we're like getting together and I'm like panicking over something. And I'm like, why does this always happen? And she's like, I'm your safe space. And
I'm
like,
safe.
She's very
kind to me, because you know what? If you tell me like your lowest, I'm going to up you and tell you something lower about myself to make you feel good about yourself and make you see that we're all human. We can all grow. That kind of thing.
So. Yeah. We're going to work on a regular segment, guys.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. I know you're a busy woman. You're a mom of two.
So are you.
You're in school. You're working. You're doing your thing. I'm so proud of you. And
thank you.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Here Comes the Drama. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and share it with a friend who loves a good story. And make sure you're following me on all socials at Hey Krista Innes for even more stories, skits, and a little extra drama. Until next time, protect your peace, and I'll see you soon. Bye now.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.